Hello and welcome to The Feed with Amber Mack
and Michael B. For everything new, now and next.
We have you covered for what's happening in the world of tech and what's trending online.
On this show, we tell you why your favorite websites were down this past Tuesday.
And we meet someone who knows a lot more than we do about building in the metaverse.
Also on the show, we share the new feature that Instagram is releasing for teens to stay safe.
And I give you my top tech gifts for kids this holiday season and beyond.
That's all coming up right here on The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B.
This episode of The Feed is brought to you by Norton, one of the leading consumer cybersecurity brands.
Trending up.
Sirens going behind us. We're all remote at the moment. So, and I might be a little blippy because my internet isn't that great today, but I'm excited. We're all here. Amber, how was your week? And are you excited for the holiday season?
Yeah, I mean, it's snowing right now while we're recording this, and it feels festive. I'm, you know, looking forward to the holiday season. I am excited to have some downtime. And at the same time, I think also a little bit concerned about the situation with the new variant, as many people are. But on the other hand, we have experience, we have science, we are making progress compared to last year. We are clearly in a much better position. So yes, the joy is coming.
Yeah, positive optimism. So it's, I think we're going to be okay. We've got science. People, if they're safe, we should be all well, I guess, for 2022. So let's get right to it. What are people talking about?
Yeah, so we have a few big tech headlines. In fact, it's been a really busy week in the technology world. One recent headline is all about Rohingya refugees who are suing Facebook over its admitted failure to stop the spread of hate speech that has contributed for a long time to violence in Myanmar. This is an issue that is not a new issue. We may see how Facebook reacts in countries like Canada and the U.S. more quickly. But I've read enough stories to know that oftentimes in countries beyond North America, there's not necessarily as much oversight and there are different rules of operation. And so this is pretty incredible. They're being sued for $150 billion. And I don't know. You know, this is probably why I have a hard time digesting this move to the metaverse when we see such deep-rooted issues within Meta, formerly known as Facebook, at this point.
Well, I guess that begs that question, right? If they can't get it right in the real world, how are they going to get it right in the metaverse or, you know, that virtual world? That's what concerns me. But this court case is interesting. And the reason why I think it's interesting is if it has any legs, something like this could affect and change the company on a bigger scale, I think, and it could set precedent because we've seen Facebook in the headlines negatively for years now, and we think that it's going to change or help improve the company and the experience, but it hasn't really. So I wonder if something like this does or could. We'll see how it unfolds because obviously, you know, it's going to the UK in the High Court. And, you know, it has some very serious allegations. You know, they're looking at how the content on the platform does cause serious harm and or in some cases fatal, can be fatal, especially when you're dealing with political instability and all kinds of crises around the world. So it is interesting. It is important to watch because, you know, we know that these platforms, and it's been proven that, you know, they do amplify hate speech. And so obviously that does have an impact on society in a very detrimental way. So if we can fix it, hopefully, you know, something like this will make a change. But we'll have to wait and see.
Absolutely. And speaking of Facebook and Instagram and their impact on society, Instagram has announced some new features for teens, specifically a feature called Take a Break that will notify you if you're spending too much time on the platform. And there are a few other features that they've announced to keep kids or teens, I should say, safe. One of the most interesting when I was reading the blog post on Instagram was a feature that essentially gives you the ability to bulk delete your content. That means that you could delete your photos and videos, even things like likes and comments. And this is part of a trend we're seeing, Michael, called the right to be forgotten. And I think this is so important for teens who are using the platforms like this, that they have the ability, maybe, you know, when they're 18, 19, 20, and actually it's going to be available for everyone in January, to go and say, you know what, I made some mistakes. I don't like the person I was represented or I was acting as on Instagram, and I want to delete some of this content. And I think that they are making this easier. So that's the thing that I think is worth noting.
I love that you mentioned that, because I struggled with some of the headlines and the features that were mentioned in the way it was written in the media. So it gave me a very negative reaction as a result, because I was thinking, well, you shouldn't have posted in the first place. But it's a very good point that you make. And I remember when I was a kid, I didn't know anything, and I made mistakes just like everybody else. But hopefully, as you grow up, you evolve and you improve or be a better person and make better choices. So you're absolutely right. What you post and do as a teenager could not be the best. And if you're able to delete it and right those wrongs or improve yourself, that's fantastic, because you don't want to have to always be, I guess, fearful or, you know, worried about what you did 10, 15 years ago and you didn't know any better. I'm not excusing it, but like, I think this is a really a healthier step in the right direction, I guess, to kind of sum it all up.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this evolves. And I think at the end of the day, you know, they're making some of these changes. It's not just for teens. They'll be available for everyone. Michael, we want to talk just quickly. There was a big Amazon server outage on Tuesday that caused some problems for Alexa, Disney Plus, Ring, Netflix, even Amazon deliveries. And this was an issue with AWS. This, of course, is the company that is part of Amazon, where many of the world's top websites host their sites and services. And they saw a number of really breakdowns that took place on Tuesday that impacted people really in a significant way. And we're talking thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah. And I know from a consumer perspective, people might have noticed it. But what was interesting, I think CNBC pointed out a large impact or a big impact on Amazon employees themselves. And through Reddit posts, there was discussion of how much it impacted them from the Amazon Flex, which is a warehouse. And delivery workers were saying that the apps that keep track of packages and tell them where to go and generally keep your items on time went down. So you can imagine that impact, especially around the holiday season. So pretty crazy. But I think that people have to understand the architecture that goes behind delivering some of these companies and this technology. I guess people shouldn't be surprised, because it's a very complicated and difficult thing to keep running and efficiently all of the time. It's bound to happen. So I think we also need to be patient and just thoughtful on that. And there's lots of workers that are impacted that then try to get it back up and running as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. So lots of big tech news to keep an eye on. And usually it's not that busy of a time in the big tech world. It's more about holiday. But this week, we could just talk forever about some of these really significant headlines.
It always comes back to Meta and Facebook. Now stay with us when we return, how an Olympic athlete is helping more kids learn to read.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. For everything new, now and next on Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167. Techstar.
You're listening to The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. Now, after learning that almost half of kids graduate high school with below expected reading levels, our next guest co-founded iRead. They deliver research-based and adaptive learning content to players all over the world while helping improve their literacy. To share more, Canadian Olympic athlete and CEO of the company, Julia Rivard-Dexter, is joining us now. Julia, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. First off, we have to acknowledge your exceptional achievements as a professional world-class athlete. How do you go from an Olympic athlete to running your own ed tech company?
Hi, Michael. Great question. I decided to retire right after the games. I think every athlete questions whether they're going to kind of give it another shot or try something new. And I really had the ambition to try something new in a totally different field. And so I started over. And what led me to entrepreneurship was the fact that I just couldn't get a job. I just couldn't find a job on the East Coast. I wanted to stay in Nova Scotia. And so I just decided to peddle my wares and work as a graphic designer and build a business, which has led me over the years to run several tech startups. And that's why I'm here today.
Let's talk a little bit about what you're doing right now at your company. And then I really can't wait to dive into what lessons that you learned from being in the Olympics to building a business, because I imagine there's a lot you can take over to this new role.
Yeah. So to talk a little bit about what we're doing today, I have four kids and one of my kids really struggled with reading and I wanted to help him. And it was really as simple as that. I'd worked in technology for years and decided I wanted to try to build a product that could use the time he was spending gaming for good. And we looked into other education products and the bar was just so low. You know, education was boring for kids. It's still very boring for kids. And I just thought we could do so much better. And frankly, we have to, because kids are exposed to just outstanding content these days. So if you want them to learn, you better be delivering it in a format that they really, really love. So we embarked on this mission back in 2014 to deliver the best education through games kids love. And literacy was what we wanted to deliver, just because it is such a main problem. And you know, Michael, you mentioned reading at the beginning of the intro, and I just want to clear up kind of a misconception. People think of reading as just, you know, being able to read a book or an article, but it's so foundational to our comprehension, and that leads into the skills like synthesizing, analysis, you know, prediction. It's all those human skills that we need to be able to participate in the new jobs of the future. And so when we say reading, I don't want to underplay the value of reading as the core skill for comprehension. And so that's what we're delivering kids through these really fantastic video games they love.
How specifically are the games helping increase reading comprehension, engagement? As you said, it's very foundational and helps them across pretty much everything they do when they are engaging with people, even though, as you mentioned, sure, there is reading a book, but then there is then applying that skill across the board.
Yeah. So the way that it works is really quite simple. Video games are, you know, when you watch a kid playing a video game, it feels like magic. I've heard people say, you know, how do they stay so engaged for so long when I can't even get them to listen for 5 minutes? And it's really just, it's just the design of the game is getting kids to experience positive failure and get motivated by that positive failure. And so it drives them back to play more and more and more. And so there's rewards, you know, kids can earn currencies. Everything that you see in video games has all been designed very specifically to get them to come back. And that can be something that people are critical about, you know, this habit formation of video games. But what we're doing is we're using that habit formation for good. So instead of, you know, kids buying more currency in the game, they have to actually engage in the learning content and prove they've mastered it to be able to get additional currency or avatars or buildings in the game. So we've basically just replaced traditional motivators with the learning content to drive up their engagement and their practice and ultimately their mastery.
Sorry, I just wanted to follow up there. It was so interesting what you just said, positive failure. I think adults struggle for that, let alone kids. That's just amazing to me. Why is that so important? And is that something that you developed as an athlete, being able to cope with and deal with positive failure?
Oh, for sure. I think if I could point to one thing that I'm just so grateful for that sport gave me as a kid was just the opportunity to fail in a safe space, you know, in a space where you had people around you who were still there helping cheer you on and coach you to get better. And that's the only way you push past what you think your limits are in life. You need the opportunity to fail in a safe space. And games absolutely give kids this environment where they can experience positive failure. And what's really interesting is if you do it through games in a classroom, kids aren't being compared to one another in the same way they are in traditional education. So they can fail and not feel stupid. You know, they can fail and keep going at it to get better. And we need to create these spaces for kids that really continue to motivate them to do better, to really exceed their limits.
I just love this. And just listening to the conversation about safe places where kids can fail. And I think you're absolutely right. They don't have those safe spaces anymore. Social media has changed the game, especially for tweens and teens, in terms of the spotlight on them all the time. And that pressure for success and looking good and being perfect at everything. So just one final question for you, because just looking at your bio and seeing what you've been able to build, what's the goal for you, you know, over the years in terms of being able to grow this company? What does success look like?
Well, in 2019, we changed our business model to make this a free platform for anyone to access. And my goal is to make this the underpinning of how kids access education anywhere, to deliver the best education that's crafted to their individual needs at any moment in time through games they love. So my ambition is to reach every child in the world with it, with these games, and to be known as the place that delivers education through carefully designed learning engineering. And it's a big goal, but I want to make sure every child has that opportunity that I did to kind of reach this potential that sometimes we think is out of touch, out of reach, because we really undershoot it for our kids sometimes. And they have such a big future ahead. So yeah, that's my goal, and I'm highly driven to get there.
Well, listen, thanks so much for joining us. And for people who want to check out the company, where's the best place for them to go?
Yeah, they can go online and kids can start playing at playdreamscape.com.
Very cool. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Up next, we introduce you to a new app that your kids will love this holiday season.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. For everything new, now and next on Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167. Aptastic.
Welcome back to The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. It's time now to take a look at some new and trending apps. First up, this Aptastic segment is powered by WW, the award-winning wellness app that gives you the tools you need to make healthier choices, something we're all thinking about these days. With the app, you gain access to WW's groundbreaking personal points program tailored specifically to you, making it easier to achieve your goals and sustain them over time. Your food and activity preferences are merged with WW's nutritional algorithm to generate an individualized weight loss and wellness plan. You'll also receive a daily and weekly personal points budget with food and activity targets. Now, this is all driven by cutting-edge nutrition and behavior change science to help you make healthier choices. And speaking of healthier choices, you can get points for practicing healthy behaviors like eating non-starchy vegetables, reaching a daily water goal, and even moving more. And in addition to food and activity, the WW app also delivers on two other wellness pillars, mindset and sleep. The WW app will help you develop healthy habits that are livable and sustainable, meaning you can continue to enjoy life while reaching your goals. To download the WW app, head on over to your favorite app store to sign up and start your wellness journey this holiday season and beyond. Okay, Michael, so that was a wellness app. And next up, this is really cool. This is an AI-powered painting app. Super, super cool for anyone who is into creativity and art. So let's walk through this one and how it works.
So I thought this was really cool because I've always wanted to be good at art, but I'm not. And so this app could help those people that really like to create or like to dabble, but needs a little bit of help. And obviously, this could be great for artists as well if you wanted to hone a specific image that you're trying to achieve and then emulate and paint it in real life. But what this does is, this is from Wombo. I just love saying the company's name as well. Wombo AI, and it's a Canadian artificial intelligence company. And what they're trying to do is transform the way we interact from an entertainment perspective and use AI to work together. So the idea is that if you want to create a specific artwork, all you have to do is think of what kind of thing you want to paint. So let's just say it's a spaceship or a lake, or you want to go to Disneyland, or whatever it is, and you type it in, and then the AI goes into its database and looks for billions and billions of different potential paintings and touch points that they can draw on. And then they start to ask you, from a creativity perspective, what you're thinking of for the style. So whether it's the type of color and those kinds of things, then it starts to help piece it together. So obviously it's helping the process and help you kind of step by step build the painting out, and then kind of brings it all together for you and then generates that painting for you based on all of your inputs that you put into the app. I hope I did it justice, because it's actually very, very beautiful app as well.
Yeah, it sounds super cool. And I have to say that last week you booked a really cool guest who was talking about AI and poetry. And it is kind of cool to see AI being used in an artful way, if I can say that. And this is just another great example of that. Okay, so next up we're going
to... And not messy. Sorry, let's just note, it's also not messy, because anyone who has kids and then have given them paintbrushes, sometimes it ends up on the walls. So it won't in this way.
I mean, I've showed up on live TV hits with glitter all over me, and you know, that begs a whole bunch of other questions. Okay, so next up we're going to talk about a library app. This is really, really cool. I think this is iOS only from what I can see. It's totally free. So Michael, this is cool. It's not just one library, but it gives you access to ebooks and audiobooks where you can borrow them for free from your local library, which is such a good idea.
Yeah, this is really cool. Yeah, it's making reading really accessible for the masses. So Libby is built by the team at Overdrive. And as you said, it's in support of local libraries everywhere. And it's got exactly what you would expect. You can obviously take out books and borrow them. And it's got... the ebook reader, and it's also got an audio player. The cool thing that I like in this that's different to some of the other online ebooks and audiobook apps is I like this audio player where you can slow it down or speed up the audio. You can set a sleep timer. You can simply swipe to skip forward and backwards. It makes it very easy. And why I think this is important is for those people that struggle with reading, for example, and I'm sure my mom doesn't mind me saying this, she struggles with her eyesight and she's getting older. So she's starting to use other tools of technology to still be able to do the things that she enjoys, like reading. So also in this app, it helps adjust the size of the text, which obviously is important, again, for those people that might be visually impaired. And also it's very easy to do with those touch points, those touch features, because again, some people have mobility issues with their hands and dexterity and all those kinds of things. So I think this app is built very well for the widest possible audience, if you will.
Yeah, super cool. And just because the apps we've talked about so far have really been geared for the most part towards adults, we did want to have something for kids, especially for the holidays. And I don't know if you just randomly stumbled across this company, but they do a bunch of apps, Michael, and I think we had them on our show App Central many years ago. Toca Boca is their company name on the Apple App Store. And they have something called Toca Life World, where you can essentially build stories with more than 100 different locations, characters, and almost build your own storybook. So super, super creative. And this company, I have to repeat for everyone, is one of the top kids app companies in the world. It's all about education. You're not going to get bombarded with advertisements. So this is a really cool pick.
Yeah, and I did pick this one because it has such a good reputation. I'm on this crusade with reading and learning, and especially with kids. I know a lot of my friends that have kids, they find it very difficult to find ways for them to engage in learning and make it enjoyable. This is one of them. And this app also, I believe, topped the app charts for Apple this year as well. So very well received. 200 million times it's been downloaded in 215 countries. So you can't go wrong with this. And as you mentioned, they make a lot of apps and a lot of great stuff and products for kids, this one kind of brings all the worlds together, and it's all in one place, and you can create and learn in the one place as well. So really neat app, super fun, great pictures, great visuals, easy and intuitive to use, and you can do everything. You know, it's got all kinds of different places you can experience. You can go on vacation, city, you can have a job, build a hospital, all kinds of stuff to interact with. So really, really fun.
Very cool. And I know we got an email last week because someone was curious about the name of one of the apps we mentioned. So I will just repeat them super quickly. WW, also Wombo, Toka Life World app, and the Libby app. So there you go.
And of course, if you've got an app, gadget, or product you think we should check out, tweet us at AmberMack and at AmBancroft80 and use the hashtag to feed. Coming up, why an augmented reality experience might be coming to a grocery store near you.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. For everything new, now, and next on Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167. In the spotlight.
You're listening to The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. Now, we are still yet to see large-scale adoption of augmented reality technology, but London-based Dent Reality sees a big opportunity in creating AR experiences in venues like grocery stores. To explain how the company's platform can enhance your next shopping trip, the company's CEO, Andrew Hart, is joining us now. Andrew, thank you very much for joining us. Let's start with augmented reality. What specifically is it, and what can people expect to see this technology in the wild, I guess? What would that look like?
Hi, yeah, thank you for having me. You know, there are so many different applications for augmented reality. And just to quickly explain what it is, it's the thing people might be already used to, actually. They've probably already tried it. And it's the thing that enables things like Snapchat filters and games like Pokemon Go and those furniture apps you see from IKEA, where you can get virtual furniture and you can look at it in your living room. And so basically, it's about taking virtual objects, and rather than showing them on a screen in a virtual world, it's about putting those within the real world. And I got interested in augmented reality about 4 years ago, because I could just see the potential for this technology, which could really take, you know, our interactions with technology beyond kind of a 2D screen interface and really just integrate with the physical world. And when you think about the kind of applications there, you think about replacing regular objects like TVs and displays with you know, ones that you can basically place anywhere and make as big as you want. And then you think about how it could be useful in terms of turning everyday kind of analog experiences that we have today into something that is digitally enabled, using technologies like computer vision and things like that to understand the context of the location where you are and the environment around you, and give you all sorts of helpful information and guidance. And so that's what I think is a really compelling use case for AR. And, you know, it's the biggest investment being made right now by Apple and by Meta, who renamed themselves to, you know, reference the metaverse, which is all around VR and AR. So it's a really big area of investment, and I think we'll be seeing a lot of it in the next sort of 5 to 10 years.
It is amazing, and I was just looking at one of your tweets, and I love how you described what you're building as the digital layer for the physical world. And I wanted to get you to walk us through a use case scenario of going into a grocery store with this technology and how it would be useful for a consumer, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing I'll say is that on radio or podcasts, it's very difficult to describe this visual thing that we've built. So I would encourage, you know, we're B2B, so I'm not gaining anything from this. I'd encourage people just to check out our website, dentreality.com, just to see the video kind of on the front. And if you click on the grocery link on that site, you'll see the video within the grocery store, because that really brings to life what we're trying to do here. And our vision about this is, I've seen a lot of people in the augmented reality space try and create kind of novelty and things which are not useful, but they're more entertainment based. And that's fine. I look at it as kind of the early days of the iPhone, right? When you had those apps where you would virtually drink beer and all sorts of weird things like that. And, you know, different apps, fart apps, maybe loads of fun entertainment things. But nowadays it's all about utility. It's all about function. And so that's what I've been focused on with augmented reality is where is the real use cases? And so right now what we're doing on mobile is we're starting with an application which takes advantage of the full regular UI of a phone. And so you walk into a store and you can get your full shopping list as you would normally have it. But then when you kind of scroll down on it, you can see the map of the store. You can see the layout, and we've rendered it on a map so you can see where everything is and you can see all of your items in the store. And then when you hold the phone upwards, the map and the interface drops down and you get the camera mode, you get the augmented reality. And so we can use it today in order to show directions, show information about where to go, show different, you know, in the future, you can imagine you show special offers and promotions and here are some things down this aisle that you might be interested in. So I think there's just huge potential to really digitize that real world experience. And grocery is the first place that we're starting.
So I understand how it's digitizing the experience, and from a consumer perspective, it's fun and engaging, but obviously puts everything in the palm of their hand. How does it improve things for the business, and what kind of expense or outlay is it for that business for them to actually then see some kind of, you know, return on that investment?
Yeah, I think we do a few things. We solve a few hard technology problems here, particularly around how we identify, how we map locations and how we identify where a person is, and then building that into a great user experience. And one of the challenges with that, as you mentioned, is kind of the scalability and the cost of doing that. Because if you're a grocery store and you've got thousands of stores, it needs to be really cheap and really quick for you to integrate it so you can get up and running. And so we've seen other things using iBeacons and stuff, but we kind of think, you know, we've heard all of the complaints about that, how it's not accurate enough and how it's very expensive. And so what we've built is a system which leverages the on-device sensors from augmented reality. That's using the accelerometer, the gyroscope, those types of things. And it combines it with the signals that we get from the Wi-Fi, because remember that GPS also does not work indoors, right? You get this massive kind of blue range of accuracy when you open maps indoors. So we're using Wi-Fi as a replacement for GPS, and then we're going even further to understand exactly where the person is using the sensors on the phone. And so that means we can precisely locate somebody within a store, and we can do that at scale, right? So it's not expensive. The second thing that you asked about there was about the use cases and what are the opportunities there for the retailers themselves. We hear two big things from the retail market, in particular with grocery retail. And number one is that they're looking to improve their customer experience. They know that online shopping is growing, and they know that recommendations online are a huge, are leading to an increase in basket value, basically. And they want to provide the same level of recommendations and kind of personal shopping experience in the physical stores. And they just haven't found a way to do that yet. So we're bringing them a way that they can really connect with their customers along that whole shopping experience. And the second area that they find value is that one of the big things that's grown during the pandemic is delivery. And so they have these pickers who run around the store picking all of your items for delivery. And the tools they have right now, as you can imagine, are not very good. And so, you know, there's a limit to the amount of food they can deliver, and you get these long wait times. And so basically a lot of retailers have come to us and said, we would love to use your technology to improve our picker efficiency so we can deliver more food quickly. And so we're talking to various retailers around those two ideas.
We just want to thank you so much for joining us today on the feed. And again, the company is called Dent Reality.
All right. Thank you so much.
Up next, we finally get to talk to someone working in the upcoming world of the metaverse.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. For everything new, now and next on Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167. Power Friend.
Welcome back to The Feed with Amber Mac and Michael B. Now, we hear and talk a lot about the metaverse, especially since Facebook announced its future plans to focus on creating a virtual world. But what exactly is the metaverse and how can it complement reality, and who's out there in the industry doing something interesting? Well, thankfully, we have Anthony Brown, who is CEO of Amped, who's joining us now. Hi there.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being on the show. And let's talk about what Amped is doing. And I do have to give a shout out to one of our listeners who recommended we get in touch with you because you're doing cool things. No pressure.
Must have been my mom.
Cool. So what are you building? What's Amped all about?
Well, there's several facets to Amped, but basically as this metaverse, this 3D internet comes into being, it requires a certain level of computing to be able to work. There is real-time graphics rendering that needs to be done, and the latency, the connection between the end user and the metaverse, if you will, needs to be extremely fast. So we're building out the infrastructure that's required to be able to run all of this stuff. And then we have a company that we just recently acquired called Departure Lounge that's actually doing the tools and technologies to capture this data that's going to be put into the metaverse, things like volumetric capture and things along those lines are what's required to create content for the metaverse, this 3D experience that you'll have with the internet.
So this 3D experience sounds very complex, and I think there's a lot of pressure, I guess, to have it as seamless as possible compared to what we're used to in reality. So how do you go about balancing those expectations? And I guess, like, do you see us evolving into a place where we spend more time not in reality, which in the metaverse as opposed to reality?
Well, estimates are that we will spend more time using the metaverse than we use the internet. That being said, I think the primary way in which we'll interact with it is with augmented reality. So you'd have glasses as opposed to a big, VR headset that would augment reality that you're already in. So as opposed to kind of really completely divorcing yourself from reality as we know it to enter the metaverse, you would kind of overlay the metaverse on top of the real world and interact with it through glasses that are probably connected to a cell phone that's connected to 5G. That's that part about getting the latency down. And you'll interact with it through those glasses. So you will have a virtual reality experience, and they're inventing all kinds of great stuff around haptics. So the ways in which your body can feel and interact with a 3D world. But you're going to need, initially, it's going to be mostly just like an augmented reality experience that overlays on top of reality as we know it.
So what is the industry saying about the metaverse in general in terms of the potential? And maybe you could, without disparaging Mark Zuckerberg and his company Meta, but talk a little bit about the fact that no one really owns the metaverse, right? It's something we are in the process of creating, but it could be many things to many different people and companies.
Yeah, just like nobody owns the internet, it's very unlikely that anybody will own the metaverse. But there are two ways that this can go. And it basically a closed metaverse or an open metaverse. A closed metaverse would mean that every time you want to interact with an individual world within the metaverse, you would have to have a specific identity and avatar and so on for the metaverse. Or the open metaverse, which we believe is the direction things will go, will be you'll be able to carry that identity, that avatar, et cetera, throughout all of the different worlds. And really, the open metaverse is enabled by, of all things, blockchain. Everybody talks about cryptocurrency and so on, but the ability to use blockchain and NFTs to identify unique objects and apply a specific value to them within the metaverse is going to help to enable this open metaverse that we expect to be coming. So, as much as Mr. Zuckerberg is going to build a metaverse or build content for the metaverse, I think the most likely scenario is that we'll be able to interact in an open metaverse and travel from world to world within that metaverse and interact with it in different ways, all while maintaining your kind of identity and your avatar and your your items and things that you've collected in the metaverse, etc.
I know it's a little ways down the road, but do we have any idea on some of the benefits or I guess real world examples? I don't know how else to say it, even though it's in a virtual world, that could help benefit or improve the way we do things now or the way we interact with companies and people now? Because I guess that's the part I guess people don't really understand. Why and how and, you know, what does it look like and why would I do this?
Well, the impact of the metaverse to the world, to industries, is pretty transformative across the board. If you can pick almost any industry, let's say healthcare, for example, and imagine the ability for a doctor to be able to do a remote full 3D checkup on somebody. Imagine the ability in healthcare, for example, to have artificial intelligence use image recognition to be able to look at a skin lesion and be able to tell if it's cancer or not. Think about the ability to do a digital twin of a building or an entire city before you build it and look at the traffic flows and look at all of that sort of stuff in 3D. It's certainly going to be a lot of entertainment, but I mean, even shopping right now, you shop on Amazon or something in a 2D interface. Imagine that 3D interface being able to pick up the object, look at all sides of it, you know, hold it up to your face and put it on your avatar and see how it looks on you. The impact to commerce, the impact to health, the impact to engineering, it's pretty much across the board. You almost can't really think of an industry that won't be affected by this ability to interact with a 3D world. From a human perspective, you're basically removing the requirement for a keyboard and a mouse. You'll be able to talk as opposed to type. You'll be able to gesture as opposed to just move your mouse around. You'll be able to see all sides of things. Some of the big stuff everybody's really excited about with things like volumetric capture are, for example, imagine being able to attend a live concert and then you can float 10 feet above the stage or stand beside the drummer and watch him drum. Imagine a big UFC fight and watching it from the eyes of one of the fighters. The impact to entertainment that sort of stuff is dramatic, but it goes across pretty much every sector.
It's really incredible to see what's going to happen in the space. And hopefully you'll come back on the show in 2022 and talk more about it, because we are still early days. So thank you so much for being here, Anthony.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Up next, Amber's top 5 family tech picks for your holiday shopping list.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. For everything new, now and next on Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167. Hot stuff.
All right, before we get to some of my top holiday gift ideas for families, wanted to mention this cybersecurity tip, which is brought to you by Norton. Now, when you shop on public Wi-Fi or even share photos of your family and friends when you're out and about, you want to use a virtual private network, or VPN for short. A VPN masks your personal information that you send and receive by creating almost a tunnel that allows you to transmit your encrypted data more securely. It makes your data illegible to cyber criminals, and Norton 360 makes it easy to stay protected on public Wi-Fi. We're going to talk about Norton a little bit later on in my gift guide, but Michael, we do want to get started because I have 5 picks for the whole family, starting with new parents.
Absolutely. Well, I know that is a very important tip from Norton for the holiday season. And yes, it is the holiday season just around the corner. People need gift giving ideas, Amber, and you've got them covered. And with this first one, you're giving new parents everywhere a little peace of mind.
Absolutely. So this is the Owlet Smart Sock Plus, and I'm going to describe it for people so they can understand what it looks like. Imagine this small sock that would fit on a child from 5 pounds to 55 pounds, so newborns to age 5. And what this smart sock from Owlet does is that it tracks your baby's sleep, their heart rate, and oxygen level. And you get all of that information that you can see live through the Owlet app. So again, you know, when we talk about gift ideas for new parents, what's a better gift than peace of mind, really?
Absolutely. Now, once you've got your peace of mind, they grow up and they could start to worry you in other ways, especially when it comes to screen time. How can we help the parents when they get older manage and ensure their kids are getting healthy screen time?
Yes. So this next pick is for children ages 6 to 10, and it's the Osmo Genius Starter Kit and Math Wizard and the Amazing Airship. So basically, you can think about it like this. It allows kids to go on their very own math adventure. So using the iPad, you have the Osmo Genius Starter Kit, which allows your iPad to kind of sit within this starter kit, and then it has a little mirror on the back of the top of the iPad through the Osmo attachment. That points down at a number of different pieces that you can use or your children can use to be able to learn things like mental math, addition and subtraction. So they're basically interacting with technology, but in a very tactile way. It's also self-paced learning, so there's no pressure to finish off before the child is ready. And Michael, to your point about healthy screen time, we know when there is that sort of tactile experience and it's hands-on, again, it's much better for the child than just sitting back and simply watching videos.
Well, you know what is a lot of pressure is ensuring that everybody in the house is connected and there is no blips in their online time. How are you helping people stay connected and ensuring that it is a strong connection?
Well, I can't believe I haven't sent this router to you because you're a little blippy to me at times, but the TP-Link Ultra GX90. It is a gaming router, and it's a great solution for busy online families. And you can think about it like this, Michael, that with this router, each person in the house has almost their own dedicated lane in terms of their internet traffic. And that means that because they have that dedicated lane, they have sort of faster speeds and no one's interrupting anyone else's gaming or streaming. So I love this idea. Again, it's the TP-Link Archer GX90 gaming router. So a really good pick for tweens or teens in the house. That helps you remove those wireless pain points. And it looks really cool with the unboxing. It has 8 antennas and a really cool experience. So I do believe any gamer in the home would love this as a gift.
I think this is awesome. It actually looks like something like sci-fi spaceship. So no one would know it's a router. It would think it was some kind of collectible. So really, really cool and keeping everybody connected. What I love about this next pick that you have is when it comes to the holiday season, sometimes we forget about capturing those memories. We do a lot of selfies throughout the year, but I don't feel we do enough family pictures. So how are you helping, you know, capture those memories for people this holiday season?
Yeah, so this is a great option if you're looking for a family printer that will also allow you to do some great crafty projects as well. It's the HP Envy Inspire. This lets you easily print photos from your phone that you can then frame as gifts. You can also print greeting cards for friends and family celebrating all different holidays, whether it's Hanukkah or Christmas. Within the printables section, they have the ability to print these greeting cards, even birthday cards, so you can use it all year long. Also has two-sided printing. And again, I think if we go back to your point about photos, I mean, I have thousands of photos on my phone that I've never printed, Michael. And I've just started using this printer to print some of these photos and put them in frames. And again, it just kind of brings those photos to life because I still like that tactile experience of again, having an actual printed photo versus just letting them sit on a drive on my phone.
I think this is a great gift because I have a few times this year had to go to the local drugstore and use my phone to print in a kiosk to print a photo. Actually, I have a photo of you and I, to put it on my fridge, and I had to go buy a magnet. All these things we take for granted that we don't really do or have anymore. So a great option here for a printer for the family to do all kinds of things. Now, last but not least, we do have to thank our sponsor, Norton, and they're actually keeping everybody safe online. But we've got one specific product that they have that's helping protect kids online.
Yeah, so this is a Norton 360 Deluxe. This is software that has a bunch of different features, but you're right, Michael. Let's talk about the parental control feature that's built into this. This helps parents to basically stay on top of how much time their kids are spending online so you can limit their screen time. You can also do things like blocking unsuitable websites. If your kids are learning at home, this allows them to stay focused without those distractions. And it's a really great pick, again, when we think about a parent wanting to have better technology to be able to protect the entire family. So a really, really cool pick in terms of that level of protection, and something people have to think more and more about as we get more products connected to the internet.
And I have to say, it does work extremely well. I was at a friend's house in London, and they have three kids. And I remember, and I wasn't looking at any sites that I wasn't supposed to, but there's keywords and things that triggered that would be blocked. And so these types of products are very useful. And it actually made me then think how I was searching and what I was searching for. So it made me more aware of what I was doing and what I was consuming. So obviously I'm not a child, but it did make me far more aware online, which I think is great for everybody. So five fantastic picks. And where can everybody go to check these picks out, Amber?
Yeah, super cool. So you can head over to my website, ambermack.com. In fact, I'll have about two gift guides and a roundup of apps within the next week or so that you can check out there if you're looking for some great last minute gift ideas. All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us. And remember, you can tweet us at Amber Mack and at mbancroft80. And as always, use the hashtag TheFeed.
This is The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B on SiriusXM Canada Talks, Channel 167.